It's time for another episode. These are, you got to say something at the beginning of a podcast, like it's over the years, like you say things like, it's time for another, of course it's time for another new episode, right?
When yeah, that's why we're here.
That, right? Also, yeah, I got so many different things when it comes to like podcasting and marketing and things like that. Like if you're going to do a video, we just released a video here. And you know, when somebody's on the screen, people put what's called a lower thirds, like a bar at the bottom. It says who the person is and like what their title is somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's how it was in news, like on television. But now we've got the internet where they're, the description of pretty much whoever it is, it's in the copy of whatever you're reading. You know what I mean? Or if I listen to a podcast, it's from the automotive industry. That's a podcast that's like focused towards you, right? Sales people, right. Teaching them how to sell better and all that kind of stuff. They always take the first 4 minutes of the podcast to do pleasantries on the person that they're interviewing, you know? And like, but I just read, this is why I'm listening to it, because I just read in the description of who this person is.
You know? Right. Oh, yeah. I guess you see that. Yeah.
So I'm doing it right now. I'm being a hypocrite because I just want to jump right into it. That's what we should do. Just jump right into it.
I don't disagree.
That's Todd Gentry. If you didn't read the description, general sales manager at Gary Crosley Ford. So I just kind of just did myself. Todd, it is it's a crazy morning here at the dealership. We try to record these every 2 weeks. Right now, there's just kind of a weird vibe in the automotive retail industry, right? When it comes to like inventory,
yeah.
And I wonder, because we can guess on things or we can have the facts about things, but do you? I want to get your opinion. So it's a guess plus your perspective,
right,
about this inventory challenge that's happening across the country. And I want to see what you know about it, because mm-hmm. I don't know a whole lot about it. I know it's affecting new vehicles, correct?
Correct.
Because there's microchips that go into a vehicle, a brand new vehicle, and those microchips are made by a vendor, not necessarily by Ford or Toyota or anything like that. Like many other parts that are in a vehicle are made by other vendors.
Right.
And apparently the vendors that make these microchips, when they shut down for COVID, they got really far behind. And then they just, now they're trying to catch up. Is that what the whole thing
is? Yeah, and then there was one of the plants, I guess, you know, had a bad fire and it caused production to stop. And then here most recently, and of course, these are all rumors. I wasn't there witnessing it, but as of recently, there was a big COVID outbreak in one of the other ones, so... It's just kind it's one thing after another, you know?
So what does this mean for the buyer, right? What does this mean for, because most franchise dealers, well, of all franchise dealerships, let me back up just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is this affecting all basically all brands, such as like Ford, Toyota, Nissan? Are there some new cars and stuff out there that they're not affected by this, or dealerships that sell new cars?
No, not to my knowledge. To my knowledge, everything's been affected by this.
So every single dealership is affected by that. So in this kind of situation, there's a lack of new vehicles on a dealership's lot right now, franchise dealerships that sell brand new.
Correct.
And do you know...
There's a lack of availability to the new lots, because some people did it, you know, extremely well, and they've got inventory still, you know what I mean?
But did they hoard it?
Well, they bought inventory new, because you can buy new inventory from dealer to dealer, you know, just like you can used cars, so... like we were pretty proactive, not proactive enough, but we, you know, grateful that we got what we got. You know, we were buying cars out of New York and buying cars out of Detroit.
Explain
brand new cars.
Back up a little bit, because if somebody's looking to buy a new vehicle, definitely can still go to dealerships to buy new vehicles, or you can order, which, and we can talk about that. We talked about it before in an episode, but what do you mean the dealership was buying vehicles?
So we were buying we bought 27 Fusions out of a dealership up in New York.
How does that happen? They don't need them?
They might not need them. It might not fit the model that they're trying to go after. So I literally just called around and said, hey, if you've got any inventory you'd be willing to sell. And in some markets, certain vehicles don't sell well, right? So my assumption is that I bought a bunch of Fusion Hybrids. My assumption is that Fusion Hybrids aren't a real good seller in that particular market in New York, so they were willing to let me have them all. And they had two Ford dealerships, and I bought all their inventory from both stores.
How do you do that? You don't buy it for like what the manufacturer retail prices? Do you just replenish? Do they make any profit off of that? Because dealerships don't make a whole lot of profit off new vehicles in the first place.
They don't. So we just negotiate the deal out, right? So we could play. I mean, some, like right now, some dealers are paying MSRP plus just to have new inventory to sell in their lots, buying it from other dealers. So we just negotiated a deal, and I thought it was fair for both parties. And then we called Semi Trucks and our logistic companies, and we made it work. So and the team did really well with that too. So
that's interesting, because I'm looking on the back end of like Ford. Like, do they? This is too much for like customers. They wouldn't want to know this, but I'm interested. And maybe I can talk to you later about it. Is how that works all with the Ford Motor Company, and you know, because you do get, you know, bonuses from Ford Motor Company for the amount of new vehicles that you're selling, that kind of a thing, right?
Correct.
Do they still get credit? Does that New York dealership get credit for those from Ford Motor Company? No. So that's just basically a transfer.
Yeah, over. Basically, good things happen when you have a retail sale.
And they a lot of times, because I learned yesterday about showroom. There's a word you called showroom where it involves like insurance on vehicles that you have, brand new ones, and you need to make sure you get your inventory out within 30 days or you got to pay extra. Does that make any sense? Am I making any sense? No, you're shaking your head no.
No, because I mean, the showroom to me is showroom floor, but
right. This is like the insurance that goes on new vehicles, because you have to have them insured.
So like so obviously we've got insurance here, and then you've also got, if your vehicles are financed through Ford, you know, you're required, just like if you buy a car, to have insurance on them, right? So we call that our floor plan insurance here.
Floor plan insurance. That's what I was looking at. Not showroom. Floor plan. There we go.
Floor plan insurance is just basically insurance on all the stuff that we have floored with Ford credit. And there's several different floor plan companies out there. Just because you're a Ford dealer doesn't mean you have to floor plan with Ford credit. However, we're very loyal to the brand. You're getting into the weirdness
now, so. That I have no idea what you're talking about. There's two things here I've learned about working at a Ford dealership.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make any sense to me, but they make complete sense to everybody else around me.
What's that?
Two statements. One, floor plan. Floor plan to me as a normal person just thinks like, oh, how are things arranged out, you know, around the floor in the showroom, and where the cars go and where the desks and the offices and outside, like where the new cars go. That's the floor plan to me. But that means a whole different thing in the Ford or in the dealership world. The other, you're going to laugh at this one, parts statement.
Okay.
Yeah, like all kinds of stuff goes through a parts statement at a Ford dealership. Like just crazy stuff comes through, and it's just weird how it's Ford Motor Company kind of like does that with
it's kind of their way of paying us for a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that Ford and the dealerships, the franchise dealerships work on.
Well, like, you know, when you take a car to the auction, you know, you'll hear, what's your floor? So if I take a car from our dealership and I list it online for an auction or take it to the auction, hey, what's your floor? That's what they want to know, right? What do you have to have out of the car? So
that's
basically kind of what do you own it for is what they're asking,
like,
you know?
Like cost, basically?
Mm. Yeah, well, yeah.
Would you tell them what cost is?
No, typically not. You know, if my floor, if I have on my floor plan $30,000, which we don't do that, but either way, if it was $30,000, but I know the car's worth $33,000, I'm not going to tell them my floor is $30,000, you know?
Car dealers dealing with car dealers, making deals, wheeling, car dealers wheeling and dealing. Right. That's got to be like a alternate universe of just wheeling and dealing.
Oh, it's stressful sometimes. Thankfully, we've got a really good network of dealers and auction houses and stuff like that around us, so we don't have to play the game.
So much goes on behind the scenes. Well, let's just get into some simple questions that may not be so simple for asking a car dealer today, all right?
Okay.
I think one of them is, it says my phone keeps going off because we are in the middle of a work day. Here's the first one. Everybody that buys a car has some kind of idea, or they usually have somebody else telling them when the best time of the month to buy a car, because everybody thinks they know that the dealership is desperate for car sales at the end of the month, or they need to sell them at the beginning or in the middle because it's slower or whatever. Is there a true formula? And I know you're just speaking from Gary Crosley Ford and your background in the car business. Is there truly a time of the month that you're going to get a better deal when you're wheeling and dealing at a car dealership?
It just,
total transparency.
Total transparency. Yeah, it just depends on how that dealership's ran. You know, what they're, you know, because if I have a customer come in the door today, and let's just say today was the third of the month, right? So it's the very beginning of the month, and they're here. I am here to sell them a vehicle. You know, as long as it fits their needs, that's what I want to do, is I want to sell them a vehicle. However, some people manage a different way, right? So they'll wait till it gets the 20th, 22nd, 23rd of the month, and then they start calling all their business back that they didn't sell
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of the month, saying,
"Hey,
no, I'm talking about a manager or a salesperson.
Okay, yeah,
they're calling the people back that were there beginning of the month and didn't buy a car, and they're like, "Hey, you know that deal you offered us? We'll take it now." You know, and it's 2 weeks later.
Right.
Where
they probably have already bought somewhere else.
So that's, in my opinion, that's probably where people get that idea that it's easier to buy at the end of the month because, you know, different dealerships are trying to beat their sales goals or their numbers or mm-hmm. whatever it is. We don't really do it that way. You know, we want to sell you a car at the beginning of the month just as bad as we do at the end of the month.
If you're a smart salesperson.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're mm-hmm. not a smart salesperson.
In my opinion, you know, and some people might not think that's a smart way to do it, but that's how we do it.
Yeah, and I think that that makes sense because if you're trying to call people back to come back and make that deal, they probably bought somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
right?
There's always that chance, and some people will roll the dice. We just won't roll the dice.
Yeah.
You know, we want you and your friends and your family to buy one here. So
next question is similar to what I just told you.
Mm-hmm.
What time of the year is the best time to buy a car, or is there a best time to buy a car during the year?
Yeah, and see, that's kind of tough too because the rebates and incentive change based on
that's going to be the next question. By the
what
way,
is for what they have for sale, or what the availability is, right? So,
and we talked about incentives example, are just basically coupons,
kind of. Yeah. So let's just say that there is 50,000 F-150s on the lot right now, right?
Jeez, and the that's a lot of F-150s.
Well, not on our lot, okay. But just let's just say there's 50,000 for sale in our market. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in our market, there's 50,000, and then 3 months from now, there is 2,000.
Yeah.
The rebates and incentives will be different based off
supply and demand.
Supply and demand, right? So, like right now, the rebates and incentives are virtually nothing. You know, we've got 1.9 and 3.9. We've got some decent interest
rates. These
are
all on new vehicles.
Just on new vehicles. Yeah. But as far as the rebates go, there's just not a lot right now because there's not a lot for sale and there's a high demand. So they change the rebates and incentives based off demand, supply, you know, all of those different things. So saying, hey, this is the time of year to buy, it's kind of difficult to do because some years they change the model year,
yeah.
you know, sooner than or later than they do other years. So the rebates and incentives might be better on the previous model year, especially
right.
if they're doing a big change. But that's never 100% consistent. So as far as having a better time of the year to buy, I can't say that there is, you know, a better time of the year.
You answered the next question I had, which is how does Ford Motor Company and Toyota and Chevy and all that determine what incentives are or coupons are going to be on what vehicles? And you just said that by supply and demand on how many have been made and how many are out there, how well they're selling.
That's a ton. I mean, that's pretty much what it has to do with, right? And it's different in different markets, right? So if I buy a car in California,
yeah.
the incentives could be a little different than they are here in Missouri or even Missouri to, you know, Arkansas or whatever it might be. They could always be just a little bit different. That's why we always ask for your name, address, and zip code, even if we're on the phone, just so we can make sure you don't qualify for any additional rebates.
Gotcha. Next one comes with a conversation that I had with my dad over Father's Day. My dad is not a new car guy. He's not a new truck guy. He's not one of those. He likes to buy vehicles from an owner,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of the newspaper or Craigslist or something like that. And I'm exactly opposite. And I've got my reasons why I buy new vehicles. His number one thing is, and I don't know if this is, I think this is a bit of a BS. He thinks that new vehicles completely depreciate once they drive off the lot.
Again, it depends. Right now, that's not the case.
Okay.
Right now in this particular market, not the case. A few years ago, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it just depends on what the demand is for that vehicle. So if you can't pass a intersection without seeing a Ford Escape, we'll just say a Ford Escape for example, and I don't mean anything by it. I'm just using a car for example. But if you go
good
through
disclaimer.
Yeah, if you can't go through a stop sign without seeing a Ford Escape, guess what? They're probably going to depreciate a little bit faster than that platinum F-150 or F-250 that you see maybe once or twice a week.
And does it also have to go on region too? Like if there are vehicles that are going to be in more demand in different regions of the country than there are
yeah.
other vehicles, such as Subarus are not very high in demand in the Kansas City Midwest market.
No, but you get up to Canada and yeah.
Then so you're going to pay less probably than you would somewhere else. So, or it would depreciate probably faster if you bought a brand new Subaru in Kansas City than if you bought one in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Right.
I would agree. Because
my dad, he's always got the opposite of me, always, man. But he makes it sound like if you bought a $30,000 vehicle, it's only worth $5,000 as soon as you pull off the lot.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Okay. All right. All right. And the same thing with the used vehicles is that I don't think he's realizing that that person that owns it, he has no idea what that car is worth, right? Unless he's doing some Kelley Blue Book or some Black Book or something like that.
Which even then, it's not.
But that guy could make $10,000 off my dad, and my dad would never even know it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I get it. And the reason I go with new vehicles is there's almost 100% transparency with the manufacturer and all that. I know it's going to be covered under warranty. I know that if there's, you know, recalls are going to be to me right away if I know that there's something, if there's there. So that's what I do.
And my dad's similar to your dad.
It's an old school way of thinking, isn't it?
Yeah. And they just recently bought it at Ford Explorer. And
yeah.
He came in and he's like, all right, we want to buy a used one. You know, I'm not going to pay for one of those new ones. I said, all right, Dad. I said, well, here's one that's 4 years old. Yeah. I just showed him a picture on my computer. Didn't even take him to show him the car. I said, here's one that's 4 years old and here's a brand new one.
Yeah.
Same trim level. You know, I think the used one had 30,000 miles on it. I said, if you don't think it's worth $8,000 to buy one that's brand new as opposed to this one that's older, I was like, I'm not doing my job very well.
Right.
We'll look at the new one. And they ended up buying the new one because right now, especially, it makes sense. You know what I mean?
I run into a lot of people that think that they just can't afford a new car or a new truck.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this misconception in their head.
Yeah.
But they are very oddly similar. If you can a pre-owned and a used and new are not much different when it comes to, I guess, like payments or price, right?
Yeah, not
unless you're
not
getting really, into like super sports cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But there's...
Yeah.
My dad also told me that if you're going to make payments on a used vehicle, then once you're done making those payments, you need to take those payments, start putting them in the savings account because you have to pay for that transmission or that engine or whatever it's going to go out of it because it's older, right? And so that's why I'm just really confused about why he's so attached to used cars.
Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We sell new and used here, and everything that we sell goes through like this inspection process, and it gets everything about it is that's why I'd say people should buy from, if you're going to buy a pre-owned or used vehicle, you need to buy from a reputable car dealership that has a great service that when it goes in, it gets inspected, correct?
Yeah, I would always ask.
What is the process behind it?
I would ask for the inspection if you go to buy a car. And the reason why is because there's a lot of big dealerships that still don't do an inspection on their used cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't even change the oil, you know?
Oof.
And it's a little bit insulting just because of the simple fact that we spend so much time to make sure that we're giving our customer the best product that we possibly can. You know, and somebody down the road is literally buying them from the sale, detailing them, taking pictures of them, and then selling them. It's just difficult to process.
What's the process if I do a trade-in on my vehicle? Mm-hmm. I've got a 2019 Ford Explorer, right? And I'm going to go and upgrade. I'm going to get a 2021, and I trade that into you. What's the process that vehicle then goes through?
From the time we take it in, well, obviously we got to stock it in, put all the right descriptions on it, so that way somebody can tell what the vehicle is based off of a stock number. It'll go into the shop. From there, we're going to have a certified technician. We've got four of them here at Gary Crossley Ford, and they're going to put the vehicle on a lift. They're going to spend a few hours literally just checking the vehicle out.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even tell you what all they do. It's over 172 point inspection. That's what we tell people. It's 172 point inspection because it's that plus some.
Okay.
And every car is going to be a little bit different.
So they have a list. They go down, they check this.
They've got a checklist.
Whatever they're called up.
Ball joints, wheel bearings, all that stuff, right? Tires. You know, we get clear down to what the date of the manufacturing of the tire, you know, because if it's a tire that's been on the car for 5 or 6 years, maybe the person didn't drive a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a decent chance that tire is going to need replaced just from weather cracking and stuff like that, even though the tread depth might be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coolant, antifreeze, any leaks.
So it goes through the inspection, seats. Then what happens next?
After it goes through the inspection, then the service manager will then ask the used car manager or myself, hey, you know, here's what we found wrong with the vehicles. Is something you feel comfortable representing after we fix these items? And we'll say yes or no. If we say yes, then they'll go ahead and fix the vehicle. Then the vehicle will go get detailed and professional photos.
Is that when they scrub all the Dozer's dog hair out of the back
seat?
That's
when they get all Dozer's dog hair out, right?
All right.
And they find lots of stuff in trades, you know,
bet,
all sorts of sticky stuff. And so anyways, they get the car cleaned up, get it standing pretty tall. They'll take a bunch of professional photos of it. That's what you'll see on our website is the professional photos. They bring it back to the dealership. It gets all the stickers that we have to put on it by law to represent the vehicle on the lot. We put all those in there, park the car on the front line, and hopefully sell it within a couple days. The front line. So what I call the front line is all of our used cars are on the front two rows facing the highway.
Yeah.
So that's what we call the front line.
How many trades do you take that are what they call front line ready? Where it doesn't really have to, it just comes out perfect almost, right?
Yeah, every single vehicle that we trade for goes through that inspection process.
That's awesome. So there's no front line ready. It has to go through all this process.
Yeah, we will not trade for front line ready. And, you know, like, for example, my truck's coming in today and the dealership's going to own it. It will still go through that inspection process. That's our process. That works. And no matter how much you trust somebody, they might have missed hitting that pothole and throwing the alignment way off, and now your tires are cupping. And so every single vehicle that comes through here gets an inspection.
Gotcha. All right, we're going to wrap up this episode, but I do want to ask you, see if you know one of these terms, these dealership lot terms, speakery or whatever it is. People used to talk on the dealership. Some of these still use to this day, right? So here we go. What does first pencil mean when you're at a dealership?
So that is the first time that you get numbers presented to you.
As a customer.
Yep. So if you come in the dealership, you drive the car, you say, hey, I'd like to buy the car. That's the first presentation of, hey, here's X, here's what it, you know, MSRP, here's your dealer discount, here's your documentation fee, lien fee, here's what your trade's worth, here's your trade payoff, and here's
That's your first pencil.
That's your first pencil, yeah.
So which means that there's options for a second pencil?
If you're negotiating? Yeah, there absolutely could be.
That's where the dickering comes in?
That's where the dickering or the, yeah. That's,
yeah.
There's all sorts of different names for
different,
that.
Different, yeah. Because it goes, it's like the first thing that humans ever did.
Yeah.
Dickered with each other and traded and did all that. So, all right. Todd Gentry is General Sales Manager at Gary Crosley Ford in Liberty, Missouri, just outside Kansas City. Once again, Todd, I appreciate you coming in here to the Multimedia Studios and giving us your feedback and my questions for a car dealer, man.
Thank you, Joey. I appreciate it.